Today's episode of The Seniors is brought to you by our good friends over at Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflagpoles.com, or you can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street down in Des Moines, or give them a call, 1-800-340-1157. They've got every kind of flag that you could ever want. I'm on their website right now. I'm getting ready to buy a Minnesota Vikings flag. If you guys didn't know, I committed to being a Minnesota Vikings fan.
Skull, buddy.
Yeah, back before the season started. Rob Gray, we were just looking at these Olympic flags. He's going to get himself a Canadian World Cup of Hockey flag.
I think I might do that, yeah.
Yeah, they've got pretty much any kind of Chicago Cubs flag you could ever want. I'm not going to want one, but you might.
I'll probably hit that up before the Team Canada flag is just really cool.
Yeah.
But as a Cubs fan, I mean, yeah, an array of just gorgeous flags there.
But when it comes to sports, they've got colleges, high schools, Major League Baseball, NASCAR, NBA, NFL, NHL, Olympics, soccer. You know, they've got anything you could want with a state. They've got all kinds of different decorative flags, military and historical ones. And then they've got any kind of flagpole that you could ever want as well. Like I said, check them out online, heartlandflagpoles.com. Or check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. Give them a call, 1-800-340-1157. I'm getting on there this afternoon. I'm buying that Minnesota Vikings flag.
That's awesome. And there's some really cool retro flags, too, I think you had your eye on.
Yeah, there's an NBA one that is it's the Seattle Supersonics. I don't know. They have to just I don't know why they just want to take my money like this. It won't be long before my whole apartment is just covered in flags.
It's like you're a 22-year-old, I won't say kid, in a candy store.
Yeah.
But the candy is flags.
Yeah. I don't know any NASCAR drivers, but I might pick a NASCAR driver just so I can have a NASCAR flag.
Why not?
And a soccer team. I don't wake up at like 6 in the morning to watch soccer, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that people could handle with the DVR, couldn't they?
Yeah, I would think. But there are a lot of people that wake up to watch it.
They are, and I think, you know, kudos to them. I guess they're sports fanatics. They decided to pick a team in a sport that traditionally hasn't been that, you know, traditionally. Heck, when I was a kid, it was kind of looked down upon. We did it at recess, and that was about it, you know, back in the 40s. You know, it's really caught fire.
Yeah. So once again, thanks to our presenting sponsor here of the Seniors, Heartland Flagpoles, or Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. You can check them out online, heartlandflagpoles.com, or check out their showroom down in Des Moines, 3719 Southwest 9th Street. They're helping us out a lot here.
Indeed.
As our presenting sponsor.
And we're appreciative. I mean, yeah. It's such a cool sponsor too when you look at what they've got. You know, I suggested, since you're all in on so many flags, that you just serves as wallpaper.
Anyone that checked out our Facebook Live video on Saturday before the game would have seen my Cyclone Nation flag that I have hanging in my bedroom.
Yes,
it is. You know where it was purchased?
I Heartland Flagpoles. You better believe I know. Yeah.
heartlandflagpoles.com. That's where I got it. It was awesome. It's a good flag, and they're a good sponsor
for sure.
So, Iowa State gave up a 17-point lead. This is the not so good.
Yeah,
we're bringing in our new sponsor. We're all happy, and now we got to talk about the fact that Iowa State blew a 17-point lead on Saturday.
Yeah. And as you recapped after the game, you know, everyone's seen that movie before, particularly in the recent past. I mean, 5 times they've held fourth quarter leads in their last 9 games, dating back to Oklahoma State here last season, and of course didn't come away with the victory in either one of those games. Different ways it's happened. You know, on Twitter, some people were taking issue with the fact that I said the Baylor loss wasn't typical, but I was trying to be nuanced about it, saying how the team looked in letting that slip was not the same. The result clearly is. So in the literal sense, it absolutely has become typical as of late, and it's something, you know, they've got to change, and they know it. And they're trying to change it, even though it looks like it's just hard to explain.
Right.
You know, when you have to make a play and a play just isn't made under key circumstances, when so many were made throughout the first 3 quarters of the game and sometimes even beyond, and then the other team makes those plays
right
under those circumstances.
I think that's what's so incredibly frustrating, is that you watch them and it's like they are making all these big plays. You know, Alan Lazard catches a touchdown pass to go up by 17, and it's like, holy cow, they might run away and hide with this one. And, you know, all of a sudden, there's the Carson Epps fumble, and it's like, it all just comes crashing down again. And there's just that one play that all just unravels on.
Sorry
to cut you off, but I didn't even think about that until Joel Lanning said something about that this morning. He's like, you know, you think – he's like, Carson had that bad, you know, unfortunate fumble. And he's like, and then all of a sudden we just lost our mojo.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
they're like Austin Powers in the second Austin Powers movie.
Yeah, maybe can blame an agent provocateur on the outside, but I think it's just
– It was Fat Bastard. That's who it was.
At figures. That's some of it, you know. But, you know, Lanning alluded to it as well that – and, look, this has been talked about over the last three seasons, previous three seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Nigel Tribune said at one point last year that there were some guys when you got into those, you got to make it or you're going to get broken kind of scenarios that guys expected to lose or to fail.
Right.
And that is the toughest thing to root out of a culture when you're losing these types of games. I mean, look, they're losing blowout games too. And, of course, the win this season is a blowout win. And I think very important to feeding these really good performances at times the last 2 weeks. But, you know, Lanning said you can't let that happen. But somehow it slips in that when one thing goes wrong, mm-hmm. what's the next thing? And, you know, we've talked about this a lot. And it's got to, as frustrating as it is for fans, I mean, beyond frustrating, just imagine what it's like for those guys out on the field who it's hard to discern that that's happening.
Right.
But you kind of look back and you're like, that did happen. How did it happen? Was it in my head? Was it in this guy's head? This guy's? I mean, it's got to be maddening. I mean, the only, just all kinds of theories and everything out there, but all you can do to change it is to change it.
Yeah.
You have to get over that hump. And like you said, they put another touchdown on Oklahoma State. I think the step that will lead to overcoming that sinking feeling of, oh, here we go again, is you've really got to put a hurt on one of these teams. You have to put them away. So no matter what goes wrong down the stretch, it's not going to cost you a game.
Mm-hmm. And it's like that. You got to stomp on the throat,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Like, George Niang used to talk about that.
Like when you get the opportunity to get the lead and you've got the guy down, you know, that's the point when it's like, all right, now you dig the foot in.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to pile on.
You've got to keep the knife going.
Right, exactly. And it's like that's where it's that killer instinct almost. They don't have that yet, you know? They don't have that, like as the program as a whole doesn't have that, that once we get up, we're up for good mm-hmm. type mentality. It's like, okay, we're up. We have to hold it. We can't let them get the lead back. You know, we've got to, it becomes more of a, we're not going to just keep doing us and we're just going to keep putting points up. It becomes, oh, we've got to do everything we can to not give it up.
Yeah. Got to hold it. There's some interesting stuff out there about prevention focused and promotion focused people. Uh-huh. I think it can happen to organizations and programs as well. Sometimes it's good to have a prevention focus, you know, in football, that would be the trying not to lose. Hey, if you've got a big lead,
right.
You can play a prevent defense. Let them use clock. Let them take 16 plays to score a touchdown. But if you haven't done enough from the promotion aspect to build a lead big enough, then if you go into prevention mode, you're not going to prevent anything.
Right.
And it's going to affect your mindset. And it's going to be hard to flip back into that idea of promotion that we're going to keep going. We're going to keep piling on. We're going to keep doing that because that's the only way we're going to ensure victory.
See, and it's like that one bad play is almost like a trigger. You know what I mean? It's like that. The bad moment is like, it's like an oh crap thing.
Yep.
And then it's like, oh crap. Now what if something else goes bad?
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, you've played so well the whole game, you've got this big lead. It stops being about we're doing so well. We've got all this confidence. It becomes more about, oh crap. What are we gonna do now? We fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
You know.
And they have the recent history to unfortunately fall back on there where it's like, oh, yes, something did trigger that in those other games. Gosh, I hope that didn't. Or like you said, what if? Those types of thought processes rather than okay, that happened.
Yeah.
We've still got this.
Move on. We're still up by 10. It's whatever. Yep. Defense is going to go out and get a stop. We're good.
Yep. Lanning touched on that too. And they did make some plays. After that, they just didn't, obviously the offense didn't score anymore.
They only had like 20 yards of offense in the fourth
quarter. I mean, the defense had to stop at some point in there, though.
Well, there's the one where Park came in through the interception. And then they got to stop. The defense did. They forced another punt.
And then it was another three and out.
They made Oklahoma State punt 9 times.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do.
No.
So, I mean, you know, we're, you know, guys I think are taking the right attitude. It just needs to be every single guy. And, again, this is something I've talked about forever too, but Alan Lazard put a lot of it on him. He said he can't drop those passes. Mm-hmm. Lanning put a lot of it on him. They weren't perfect passes. I mean, look, we can – as great a player as Alan is, you know, I got to do better. And he – I asked him a little bit more about that stuff, and he said, as captain, and elaborated that as captains and leaders, we've got to set that example that we're going to execute the best. Because they were elected captains, obviously, as well. So guys look to them. If they're not executing, unfortunately, at this point, you have to feel like perfectly, you know, where does doubt come in on the other guys? And it's good to see them take that. I mean, we knew they did, but that accountability and ownership, but they're continuing to do that and continuing to look for ways to help people. Like he said, a guy like Carson, as tough of a play as that was, that shouldn't be something, unfortunately, that becomes the, oh, this was the turning point. Well, there were lots of opportunities to turn it the other way and make that an afterthought. You know, make it, instead of that's where it went south, it could have gone south here, but they responded with A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they... You know, they've got to channel, like, the disappointment of this and not let it be, you know, like, be down on yourself. Let it be something that you're, like, dwelling on and you're just, like, you're like, oh, I don't want that to happen again, you know? But you got to take it and use it as motivation. You have to channel it into motivation, like, into your You're gonna prepare that much harder, you know. For Alan, I'm gonna go out and work on the jugs machine that much harder. I'm not gonna drop that ball again. Mm-hmm. You know, like it has to be a motivator rather than being a demotivator. Like, oh, I effed up. You know, now I'm gonna go feel bad for myself, and I'm you know.
Yeah.
You know, you get what I'm saying, I guess?
Yep, exactly. The good thing about those guys is I don't think they ever internalize it that way.
Right.
Now, the problem is you have to make sure that the younger guys
do
it.
It's collectively. Like, and you hope that the younger guys see guys like Alan, guys like Joel looking at that, and they're like, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be done, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I'll bet Jacob Park is looking at that the same way, the interception that he threw under pressure, under duress, based on – everything we've seen from him, he's going to handle it in that same sort of way. But you're right. There's a weird thing of how it's almost like a helpless feeling for some of those folks, because you can do so much as an individual, but you can't, you can't make sure that it's not happening over there or not happening over there in terms of that mental, just a little bit of a slip.
Right. I'm interested to see where they go this week. It was really weird to see the line and see the Texas is a 2-touchdown favorite, because I'm going to be honest, I don't think Texas is 2 touchdowns better than Iowa State right now.
Absolutely not.
Like I Vegas must know something.
Yeah, maybe, but they didn't know anything the last 2 weeks.
No.
Because Iowa State beat the spread.
Raking in the dough on Iowa State right now.
That could be too. They're setting that line the way that it is, knowing how much it's going to move the other way.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Texas still has the elite superior talent. Iowa State isn't going to face more than one team the rest of the way in which they have superior talent to. And, you know, maybe one or two in which they're close in the ballpark with. But they showed me something against Oklahoma State. You go on the road after that type of disappointing loss, which would have been 4th and 8 games that way, and you do almost all the right things.
Right.
You do everything except put the team away so you can not – it's not coast, but you can scheme it differently and hold on if need be. But you can also keep, accelerating in that way too. For them to have that happen, I know when I was talking last week, I was afraid it would be one of those one step back thing, because you'd had the really nice performance against I think I can say now bad San Jose State team versus okay and Baylor, and yes, you replicate it. It's another gut-wrenching, horrible loss in which you failed to execute down the stretch. But what you did on the field up to that point is extremely impressive at the same time.
When's the last time they scored more than 30 points three times in a row?
It's, boy, that's a good question. It's been a while. Didn't do it last year. I got it right here. I'm sure they didn't do it the year before that.
Yeah. I don't remember them doing it since I've been here.
Didn't do it in 2013. Didn't do it even going back to the bowl years. Didn't do it. I mean, you'd have to go back a long ways.
Yeah.
A long ways. And they definitely left points on the field in Stillwater Saturday.
We were even looking at their rankings. I mean, they're as high as in any of those as I've ever seen. I don't know what Iowa State finished last season in total offense.
It wasn't as high as...
It was not that high. They were probably close to the hundreds. I mean, they're pretty close to the hundreds here too, but you can see that it's trending one way, you know?
Exactly. And, I mean...
And the way their offense has performed in the last three games, I mean, I bet they're a top 50 offense the last 3 weeks.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There's no question. The last 3 weeks. If that's coupled with how bad it was in particular the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Some revival against TCU.
Even the last four, I would say, if you throw TCU in there.
Yeah. Other than points, they definitely started to get that.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting third down conversions. You're extending drives.
They look so much more comfortable even last year, you know, all the stuff with Mangino, Todd Sturdy, Paul Rhodes. It's like even last year when it seemed like they should have been good at the end of the year, you know, they'd had Sturdy for a while. I don't think they looked as comfortable as they do right now in this offense.
That's true.
I don't know what you think, but these guys look confident. They look comfortable in what they're being asked to do.
And that's the difference I was trying to allude to with the not typical stuff. And you look at it last year, you had the Oklahoma State meltdown at home. You had the Kansas State meltdown on the road back-to-back.
Uh-huh.
There was no revival after that. I mean, at West Virginia, 6 points put on the board. I mean, an utter blowout. So that's where, like you said.
Put our hard hats on, though.
Yeah, they did. They did. That was really a poignant moment because Rhodes did do a lot for this program.
And, yeah.
You could see emotionally what it meant to him. And a lot of the guys who were probably seniors that had seen part of the success rather than the 3 years of 8 wins total. But, that's what it's a really good point to see how they, you know, hey, they bucked up a lot after the Baylor setback.
Right.
And then it happened the same way against Oklahoma State. Man, if you can go to Texas and play with that same type of resilience, even for most of the game again, and put yourself in a position, that's saying something. Now they do need to close the deal. They know it. Everyone knows it. Fans should, I don't know. I don't know how you celebrate when it finally happens, and it will.
Right.
But I think Texas is ripe for the taking. They what do they have to play for? They're 2-3. They're 0-2 in the Big 12.
Everybody hates their coach.
Yeah, and then their defense is ranked lower than Iowa State's.
Yeah.
I mean, they are getting lit up. Now, they have played Oklahoma, and at the time Notre Dame seemed like a good offense. But
Joe Tessitore told me that Texas is back.
You know, I think I thought they were early in the season, but we didn't realize what a fraud Notre Dame was.
Right.
Because when Notre Dame seems to be back, it looks like they're going to stay there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then last week's game is even an outlier. I think they do have a good offense. But Texas defense is very
suspect. Are you talking about Notre Dame?
Yeah, the monsoon game.
Did you see their offensive balance?
What is it?
They had like 19 rushes and 17 passes in a monsoon.
Oh, my gosh. That's
everybody's like, we love, you know, you're all about balance in college football, but when there's like 8 inches of rain during the game, I would think that you go away from the balance a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say you just run,
yeah,
and pass only as...
That seems like the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I would think so, but we're not millionaires either. Millionaire celebrated coaches. Well, they're not celebrated right now, but they have been
true
a number of times in the past. But
I think back to that Texas game last year, and my only concern is that they're going to be pissed off.
Exactly.
You think about Paul Rhodes comes in. Iowa State shouldn't beat Texas.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to go there right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, but at the same time, and that's the same concern I have with the Texas team that still, again, has superior talent. Is that a game where even though, you know, what's the best bowl game they can get to? Let's say that somehow they get seven in a row. It's not going to be anything like what they thought. Okay, finally, maybe we're back in the conversation, and they're not even close.
Well, for a second, everybody's like, oh, Texas is going to the playoff.
At least
Texas is the best team in the Big 12.
There were some voices that way. But, Iowa State's ticked off over the recent near misses and fourth quarter collapses. And Texas is, you know, ticked off not only by just – but they halfway didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And then Iowa State just ground the will out of them. That was an odd – sort of real outlier game considering how last season went down and setting the stage for the fourth quarter losses and all that kind of stuff. But again, if they execute like they have and can somehow translate it into getting it over those last 15 minutes or even 10, 11 minutes, as it's been in some cases, I don't think it's going to matter how mad they are. And at some point, as mad as Texas could be, if it doesn't lead them to being up 21-0 going into the second quarter, they're going to be like Paul Rhodes said, we should be rolling this team, particularly with what we're facing and what we've been coming off of.
If that line is still so high when the game gets closer, I'm putting my paycheck on the clones.
Nice.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
You can say you did it. It's okay. You're a good, honest.
I don't want
young
people
fellow.
To think. I don't want people to think that I'm irresponsible with my money like that.
That's a good thing. And we might have some youngsters that listen to the seniors as well, and we don't want to certainly put them in a, you know. When we're talking about
that. We're not the podcast.
Yeah, we're just entertainment purposes when we talk about
I'll put all my
bets down.
My side bookie money on it.
There you go.
So Kamari Cotton-Moya is day-to-day. Mm-hmm. Found that out today. Trevor Ryan, I think he's pretty much day-to-day as well.
Yep.
Based on what Coach Campbell was saying. I guess, what's going to be your prediction for Saturday? And then I'm going to shift gears a little bit on you.
Yeah. I'm gonna predict an Iowa State win.
Okay.
In Austin. I'm gonna go 38-35.
What was the final score 2 years ago when they played in Austin?
Oh, which one was that?
Was that Gerard Hurd threw the long passes at the end?
48-45.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something like, I mean, you look at where these defenses rank, and even though Iowa State's shown improvement, they're just,
what if they both put up 50?
It would be entertaining.
Yeah,
at least.
Brett Bloom would have some fun on Cyclones.tv.
Yeah. I mean, people will call me a homer, and that's fine, but I think they're primed for a breakthrough. I think Baylor and Oklahoma State are both better than Texas, and I don't know how much heart and how much fight Texas has left in it. Maybe they have a lot, but when you know that you're good as an individual and as a team, and you continue to underperform, not only this year, but last year, the year before, at some point, you know, talk about culture in different ways, that seeps in a different way. You become almost desperate, and then you become almost apathetic about it. It's like, well, I'm doing it, but this guy isn't, we're not seeing pointed fingers here, and I think it's going to lead to a big win down in Austin.
What you said, 38-35?
That's what I, at this moment, Monday, at 1:23 p.m. That's exactly what I think. I'm not gonna shy away from picking an Iowa State win. I truly believe that's going to happen on Saturday.
All right, I'm gonna pick the same score. Longhorns win. Okay, Price is right.
You're being the most. I don't know which is most realistic. And I mean, again, you know, we can try to read the tea leaves all we want.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought there would be. Initially thought there would be much more of a letdown game-wide at Oklahoma State based on how Baylor went down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's equally as possible. And if it happens,
tweeting,
I really
like,
feel
if,
for the fans.
There were people tweeting about how Iowa State looked like the third best team in the Big 12 during those first three quarters.
I can't argue with that, though, at this point.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was that tweeted that. It was somebody.
But
that writes about the Big 12.
The offense played as well as it played, and the defense got big stops.
Yeah. The defense
got them at third and long at times.
I really think that defense played as well as they could, especially without Kamari Cotton-Moya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of guys.
For most of the game, at least.
Yeah, and Coach Campbell talked about it today, that how Everett Edwards did a lot.
Yeah.
Or a transfer. And
Braxton Lewis.
Braxton Lewis, a walk-on who's got experience. That he's all, very much impressed him with how he goes about things. So they're starting to build depth. Unfortunately, there's not as much along the front line and at linebacker. But as Campbell said, they're playing hard. And, I mean, if you're a fan, yes, you hate the result. You hate the meltdown. But, don't fault the effort. And those guys feel it a heck of a lot more than you do.
The more I watch every week, you know, the production might not be there yet. The better and better I feel about Willie Harvey and Regan Northup's future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that are clamoring for them to, you know, get out and get a JUCO linebacker. We need to completely overhaul the linebacking core. And I think if Tymar Sutton can step in next year and play, be as good as they think he can, you know, I think those linebackers have a good chance to be much improved next year. Because I think both those guys are pretty good.
Yeah. And I think that
they're just so young, you know.
Yeah.
They just make a lot of young guy mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the athleticism is undoubtedly there.
And it seems like they both just have that nose
Brian
for the
Mills,
football, too.
I mean,
and Brian Mills. Yeah, throw him in there, too.
I mean, he's, you know, an older guy.
Yeah.
But,
is he a senior?
I can't remember, and I hate to say that.
Yeah.
He's been around the program for a long time. But,
No, he's a junior, redshirt junior.
So, and, you know, he's been getting in the backfield and making some big plays. You know, it's just everyone has to do a little bit more, and they know it. And, you know, no one's satisfied with Bateman. You know, Jay Jones was up there, and he said, you know, he was asked a question about do you settle on the fact that there's progress being made? And he's like, you can't settle on anything when you're losing games. I mean, this is all about wins and losses. We're sitting at last in the Big 12. We're 1-5. You know, you can't, you know. All that improvement stuff is great, but got to win games. You got to go into those games wanting to win, and as you touched on, and we've touched on before too, you can't go into them thinking, "I hope we don't lose."
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go get it.
Right.
Just go get it.
I'm gonna catch some heat for saying I like the linebackers.
Well,
I like the
potential.
I like the potential,
and not even this year. And there are moments that they've had this year, a lot of moments that they've been out of position, and that, you know, you're playing a lot of guys there, and some of them are...
Adam, we need Adam Gray here, because he never minces with words, you know. He never is, he never holds back. He would give us his thoughts on the linebackers.
Oh, yeah, and you know what he'd say.
Yeah, I know exactly what he'd say.
But
he'll probably say it on the trail on Wednesday.
There you go. Another great podcast. All of these this week. We're looking forward to doing. But yeah, we'll see. I just have a hard time believing that this game will not be tight and will not be reasonably high scoring.
Speaking of Wednesday, you know what's on Wednesday?
Iowa State Men's Basketball Media Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's time.
It is. And then Hilton Magic on the
Hilton Madness. Madness.
Well, it's always Hilton Magic. But
are you going to make an appearance?
I might. I mean, you know, Hoops is your baby at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You're our guy. Obviously, I'll be helping out with features and that kind of stuff. But I might. At the same time, it's Friday night.
Right. Next Friday night,
I'm a wimp.
This Friday night, I'm gonna be at Hilton Madness. Next Friday night, Timberwolves, Hornets, Target Center. Oh, it's gonna be great. Basketball. Oh, I can't wait.
Fantastic.
Oh man, I'm so excited. Might have a heart attack.
Please don't.
So what are you going to be – you're going to be at Media Day on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll be there. Yep.
So what are you going to be looking for? What are going to be some of the things that Rob Gray is going to be asking about at Media Day?
Well, I think some are going to be I'll be asking some feature-related questions of guys, and, you know, for looking down the line. But, you know, I'm just intrigued by that backcourt, just how good
– Right.
could it be in terms of how well they shoot the three, in terms of how well Monte and Donovan Jackson can feed off one another, you know, with Monte playing fewer minutes, but perhaps amping up his production because of that, not in spite of it.
Preseason Big 12 Player of the Year.
Indeed. And I think that's the right call. Now he's got to go get it.
Yeah.
We know what his mindset is like. So those will be a few things. And obviously it'll be intriguing to hear about some of the big guys like Merrill and Solomon.
Yeah. Solomon Young is I think I'm gonna that might be my focus.
And we'll learn pretty quickly too where coaches peg them to finish in the Big 12.
They were talking the other day about these guys pressing, too, defensively.
That's very intriguing.
I'm going to ask some more questions about that. I want to know about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's good thinking because based on how everything has been structured, since Hoiberg took over, that would be a big departure, is pressing when you have to almost, or if you feel like you need a changeup.
Right.
Like when they're down, when Iowa had the big lead at Hilton, they came back and won, a lot of great storylines, a lot of great features with these guys too, Naz coming back and, how good can Matt Thomas be this year? I mean, it's that shooting aspect. I mean, I find it hard pressed to think of a backcourt that on paper coming in has ever been better or as stacked
at the end of the
state history.
At the end of the season, if Jared from April somehow came back in time and talked to me this afternoon, and he said all three of those guards made one level of the Big 12 team, I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
I would believe that.
Yeah, I would agree that I would agree with that as well.
But you got anything else to add?
I don't. I mean, it's obviously that time of year where we get into the overlap, a lot of exciting stuff, a lot of stuff that's got to be overcome, obviously, on the football side, but definitely exciting time.
Definitely. Don't forget about tomorrow's episode of CFTV Live at 12:15, myself and Jeff Woody and Adam Gray. I might bring Adam a microphone. I haven't decided yet, but...
Always risky.
Yeah, I know. So CFTV Live, as always, presented by our good friends at AgriGold. Thanks again to our sponsor, Heartland Flags, the new presenting sponsor of the seniors. Check them out online at heartlandflagpoles.com. I'm going to be getting on here right after we get off this podcast. I'm going to order my Vikings flag.
Boom.
And then I'm going to get my Seattle Supersonics one next week.
I got to get my Cubs going, and then you start to pick the style.
Yeah.
The style stuff.
I'm sure you could stop on down to their showroom today, and I bet you could get a W flag in case it needs to be flown tonight.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Southwest 9th.
Yeah. 3719 Southwest 9th in Des Moines. Look them up online. HeartlandFlagPoles.com. Everything you need. Every kind of flag. Thanks, Rob Gray.
Boom. Thank you, Jared.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks to Heartland Flags.
Yeah. Have a great week, everybody.